Good morning to you.
Good morning, Justice. Good morning, members of the court and the police department. Amy Battalion and I represent the Bureau of Property and Casualty Safety Company in this appeal involving the Newburgh Gutter Company. The issue before your honors is whether an insurer's purported assignment of an insurance claim to a service provider without the insurer's consent is valid. If it's not valid, then the service provider is not in privity of contract with the insurer, which means that the service provider doesn't have the requisite standing to maintain a cause of action for breach of contract on that policy. And absent standing, the court doesn't have subject matter jurisdiction to determine the issue of whether the contract has been breached. The relevant facts are very simple in this case. Farm Bureau is the insurer. Miller Gutter is the service provider. Farm Bureau provided a homeowner's insurance policy to Howard Hunter. Mr. Hunter sustained damage to his home as a result of a storm. He hired Miller Gutter to repair that damage. And Mr. Hunter then purportedly assigned his right under his insurance policy with Farm Bureau to obtain insurance proceeds under that policy. And Mr. Hunter purportedly assigned that right to Miller Gutter.
Would you concede that that assignment occurred after the loss?
I will. I do concede that. I think it's important to note, however, that that assignment occurred before any work was done. And I think that there would be a consideration argument for whether that assignment had proper consideration. But the assignment...
But that's not assigned as error.
That's correct.
Let me ask you just a factual question. Did the property owner notice the insurer that there was damage to the roof?
Yes.
At that point in time, does the insurer have the right to come out and inspect the roof?
Yes, and the insurer did do that.
Okay.
The insured, however, did not advise.
So how is your insurance company prejudiced by the assignment to the roofer?
Well, the insurance company is prejudiced because not only is it a breach of the contract.
But what's the for? Why can't I assign my interest or my claim to the person that does the work for me?
I think you can't do that without the consent of your insurer, not only under the policy but under Nebraska law. I think that Nebraska law is very clear that parties have the right to contract with each other and agree to provisions in contracts that are like this provision that state you can't assign that without our consent.
What's being assigned? What's the scope of the assignment?
The scope of the assignment is the right to insurance proceeds and the right to sue the insurance company.
Well, break that down. There's a couple of things being assigned then. Assignment of a cause of action? Is it assignment of some money? Is it assignment of proceeds?
The assignment
And what's the law on each of those?
Well, I think the law is the same on all of these.
So you were forcing the insured to sue the insurer under the contract if there's a disagreement under the amount of recovery for the damage to the roof. You're forcing the insurer to sue his or her insured for damages that occurred as a result of the hail or whatever it was to the roof, rather than assign that claim to someone else who can then seek to get reimbursement from the insurer. You're making the insured sue its own insurer.
No, I
Well, how else is he? How else does the insured recover if he disagrees with the insurance company as to the amount they allowed under the terms of the policy for the damages to the roof?
Well, the insured has a right to talk with the insurer about
if the insurer says, this is all we're going to give you, and the insured then goes ahead and gets the roof done, and the roof costs $5,000 more than the insurance company is going to give him, who's going to seek the remaining $5,000? It's not going to be the roofer.
Well, regardless of whether it's the roofer or the insured, and whether it's the roofer pursuant to an assignment that this court deems is valid, despite an anti-assignment provision.
I just ask you, what was the prejudice to the insurer?
Well, I think the prejudice to the insurer is that it completely cuts out of the contract and the agreement the homeowner, who has a vested interest in what's happening to his or her home.
Isn't this really a disagreement over the scope of the loss? Insurer and his roofer say it's X, insurer says it's Y, and insurer only pays Y, and it costs the insured more to fix the roof?
Yeah, this dispute is over an insurance company who said, I think that only two slopes of the roof need to be repaired. The contractor who would benefit from repairing four slopes rather than two says, I think it's four.
So if the insured brought the suit against the insurer versus the repair, the roof repair, what's the prejudice?
Again, I think that if you have an instance like this where you take the homeowner completely out of the picture, and you've got somebody who financially stands to benefit from increasing the cost of the service, you're prejudicing the insurance company because you've got somebody who is trying to get as much money as they can out of
why are they
service.
Why are they prejudiced?
Well,
they come in and they say, here's my proof, it's two. This is enough.
Well,
they have resources such as yourself.
Well, sure, and I think that they're prejudiced because if they're fighting against a service provider who has this vested interest in getting as much money as it can, as opposed to an insured who is worried about or concerned about what is my risk going to be? Am I going to have an increased risk assessment as a result of how much money the insurance company is paying out on this particular claim, or are my premiums going to go up because of the amount of money that my insurance company is going to pay on this claim? The service provider...
85-year-old widow has damage to her roof. Roofer comes and says, I'll fix your roof for $8,000 if you'll sign your claim to me. She assigns the claim to me. Insurance company says, no, 85-year-old widow, you have to sue us. You can't assign that claim to somebody else. Is she likely to do that?
Well, I'm not sure that the insurance company would say you have to sue us.
Well, if they don't pay, how else does she get reimbursed?
Well, the insurance company can have discussions with the homeowner who, again, as I...
Well, nothing precludes them from having the discussion with the homeowner once the claim's assigned.
Under some assignments, there is that preclusion.
Does the allowance of assignment of post-loss claims, in other words, something that the loss has already occurred and the assignment is made, does that affect the risk that the insurer undertook in any way?
I think that it does.
And just how would it possibly do that?
I think it does for future claims and for future assessment of the risk of this particular individual. And I appreciate the concern that the court has over what's the risk, what's the prejudice to the insurance company. Well, if you start saying...
Counsel, I apologize, but I want to ask a question before your time's up. Your company issued a check for $3,000 to the service provider after this incident, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's say that you're correct and we should uphold the anti-assignment clause. Haven't you yourself accepted that assignment when you issue the check directly to the provider versus issuing it under your argument, you should have issued the check to the homeowner, not the service provider. When you issue it to the service provider, haven't you waived that?
No. I think that there are other reasons why insurers write checks directly to the service provider. I don't think the assignment has...
But isn't that inconsistent with your argument here today that you should only deal with the homeowner, the insurer?
No, I don't think it is. I don't think
you're concerned about construction liens, aren't you?
I don't know if I...
Wouldn't the roofer... who performs the work have a construction lien if he or she isn't paid?
I suppose so. I think that it's important for this court to consider the fact that if you're going to evaluate this non-assignment provision, which the insurer agreed to...
And the commissioner approves this language?
guess, if you're gonna look at this under how is Farm Bureau prejudiced by a violation of that clause, well, then you're going down the path of saying how is Farm Bureau prejudiced by any other violation of the policy? Why do we even have the policy if you're not going to uphold the language?
Is it a custom in the industry to issue checks conjunctively, like to the insured and the provider, and step out of the picture?
I've seen it happen both ways, where the service provider is paid directly, or the insured is paid directly, or both are included on the check. I don't think an assignment has anything to do with it.
Thank you.
Would the evidence at trial have been any different if this claim had not been assigned?
I don't know how to answer that question.
You pay the insured $3,000. The insured paid $8,000 to repair the roof. Isn't there a dispute about the amount of damage to the roof?
There is.
And so I'm assuming there were experts that were called to testify regarding the damage to the roof and the need for repair and the extent of what that would cost?
That's correct.
Okay, so how would that have been different if the insured brought the claim versus the roofer?
Well, it depends on what expert the insured brings. And does the insured bring, does it bring the service provider who was provided an $8,000 bid, or does it provide the expert of a service provider who has a much lower bid? And that therein lies the problem, because you've got a service provider who is interested in and benefits from a contract that is more.
And don't you have the opportunity at trial to bring that up to the trier of fact and say this is a biased or this is an unfair expert opinion because they have a stake in the game?
You sure do.
Okay. And the insurer had that opportunity?
Did the insurer have the opportunity in this case? Yes, it did.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Becker, good morning to you.
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. As an initial matter, I will point out that there's a single assignment of error. Single assignment of error before this Court, that it was improper for the County Court to exercise subject matter jurisdiction. This Court should deny the appeal on that basis alone, because it was clearly appropriate for the County Court to exercise subject matter jurisdiction based upon the allegations of the complaint. Namely, Miller Roofing argued they had an assignment of claim, and they asked the court to determine legitimacy assignment and how much they could recover via the assignment. The Blue Cross case that they rely upon for their anti-assignment argument demonstrates that the court had subject matter jurisdiction, because of Blue Cross, the court got to the merits of whether or not the assignment was enforceable. In fact, actually, the Blue Cross case said we're limited because we're not saying the assignment's not enforceable. We're saying that we're upholding the insurance company's ability to pay providers directly. But as an initial matter, I want to point out that their sole assignment of error is the subject matter jurisdiction argument, and it fails. The court clearly had subject matter jurisdiction to decide the underlying dispute. Now, getting to the heart of the case on whether or not these assignments are valid, the court has it exactly right. And I want to point out that it wasn't that they initially said $3,000, we're going to pay $3,000, and the bill is really $8,000 or should be $8,000. They originally said zero. We're not paying a dime.
Mr. Becker, isn't that just color, though? The question before us is a legal question. It's, are post-loss claims assignable notwithstanding the policy? And the insurance company's allowance, disallowance has nothing to do with that question, does it?
If you're looking at that legal question, I would agree.
All right.
And this court has said for over 100 years, going back to the Star Union case, that post-casualty loss assignments are valid. And provisions in policies which attempt to preclude those are void. Courts throughout the United States have taken that position. It is uniform. It's in CGS, it's in Amjor, it's in cases that exist over 100 years, that post-casualty loss assignments are valid and you can't prohibit them. Why? Because you're not changing the risk for the insured. Once there is the hail and windstorm damage, the guy either had damage to his roof, which necessitated replacement, or he didn't. And that's objectively determinable. That's why we go to the court. That's why both sides had experts.
Wouldn't this be a legal claim that could be assigned to anybody as simply a chattel that is assignable?
It's a chosen action. And cases going back to the 1930s have said black letter, insurance policy claims are assignable under the rest of the law.
How do you explain the fact that probably these policies were approved by the director of the Department of Insurance? Does that have any effect as to the enforceability of the...
No, this court has repeatedly rejected insurance policy provisions that have been approved on public policy grounds. On underinsured and underinsured provisions, they have rejected and struck down provisions that have been adopted by the commissioner. And frankly, the commissioner probably didn't consider it. It wasn't brought up. It's
so
not as if there's a
public policy issue here is that generally insureds do not like to engage in lawsuits. That's not why they buy the policy. Well, and therefore, if they can avoid a lawsuit by assigning their claim to someone else, then that's a reasonable activity post-occurrence.
Exactly.
And you have a vendor willing to undertake the work on that basis.
Right. I mean, think about this.
The risk, and that's a risk to the vendor or service provider.
We assume the risk. We perform all the services, and it's our risk to go to court. We could have gone to court, and Judge Schubert would have said, you know what, I don't buy it, Miller Roofing. You're inflating your prices. But he didn't. And in fact, we had another expert come in and say, your prices are actually lower than what I would have charged. So there's a way that it can be balanced. You can go to court. If our charges are illegitimate, are excessive, and are improper, then a court can analyze that and say, I'm not buying it. You don't get it.
The insurer still has to litigate the same issue regardless of who is the plaintiff.
That's right. The evidence would be the same, except it would actually be more expensive for an insured, because think about it. The insured would have to hire an expert.
I've thought about it.
They would have had to pay my guy to come in and pay someone else to come in.
This sounds like celebrity deathmatch.
We've been awarded $16,000 in attorney fees on a $5,000 claim. That's exclusive of what would have been paid in experts, exclusive of these appellate costs. Does anyone think that a 60, 70-year-old insured, such as we have in this case, would have been willing to go out of pocket $16,000 to get his roof replaced for a $5,000 charge? It's not going to happen. And it's precisely...
Ms. Battalion, I think in her brief, argued that the real public policy issue here is freedom to contract. What is your response to that?
These are contracts of adhesion. And the insurance company has known for over 100 years that post-casualty loss claims are assignable. And just as in the Folgers Architect case, which is cited in Ms. Battalion's father's decision in federal court, which said these things are assignable, the notion is you're not changing the risk for the insurance company. They're not being prejudiced. Their risk is not being affected. But what you're doing is you're giving the insured another mechanism to recover. In this case, if Mr. Hunter didn't have the ability to assign his claim, he'd have a leaky roof right now. He got zero from his insurance company before Miller Roofing came around. He then got an $8,000 roof, as the experts testified was appropriate, and frankly even conceded by their expert. The bottom line is, it makes sense. It's good public policy, precisely because the 85-year-old woman is not going to know how to battle the insurance company. I had one of these claims personally. I had the adjuster award us $1,900. I litigate these claims, but I don't know anything about roofs. But I got the contractor involved. We got the entire roof replaced. We got the siding, and we got windows. Why? Because someone who knew what they were talking about had an assignment of claim and could step into the shoes and negotiate with the insurance company to say, no, you've got to get up on the roof. The code requires this. The code requires that. Private homeowners don't know that. And that's precisely why is another policy reason why you should allow these assignments. There's no adverse impact upon the insurance companies.
So if you have a sophisticated homeowner, the Bill Gates of the world, we treat them differently? I mean,
no.
It seems to me we're dealing with the collision of two principles, freedom of contract versus assignability of post-loss claims. Those collide. Who wins? That seems to me to be the answer, and all the rest of this seems to be color more properly addressed to a jury than to us. So how do you respond?
Well, my response would be it's a contract of adhesion. There's no negotiation of this contract. There are forms given to each one of us.
We're addressing a legal question.
How many of you read your insurance, your homeowner's insurance?
Aren't we addressing a legal question here, counsel? Isn't this a legal question?
The question of whether or not...
Whether post-loss insurance contracts are assignable.
Yes, I would concede.
And what's the jurisprudence prior to this contract being engaged in?
The jurisprudence prior to this contract goes to, I think it's 1895, the Star Union case cited in our brief, cited by the district court that
is,
says...
Is that the only case?
No, the Nebraska Supreme Court has said a dozen times that insurance policy claims are assignable. There's cases from the 1930s that say that crystal clear, black and white. The reason why I refer to the Star Union Hunter case is it's a casualty loss claim. It was a fire loss claim. And it dates back now over 120 years. And as detailed in both the district court's decision and in our brief, courts throughout the United States have adopted that same provision.
So your position is at the time this contract was entered into, the jurisprudence applicable to it was thus and so?
Yes, it was that post-casualty loss assignments are appropriate. And in fact, if you want to be even more strict about it, they had the opportunity to narrowly tailor their language. They don't say in their policy that post-casualty loss claims are not assignable. They knew this law was out there. This law has existed. This jurisprudence has existed. They could have gone a step further and been more precise. What they say is this general verbiage about rights and obligations under the policy aren't assignable. I don't even know what that means. They could have said, and they drafted it so it should be construed against them, they could have said post-casualty loss claims or claims to insurance proceeds are not assignable. They didn't do so. So whether or not you view it as it's a contract of adhesion and the public policy favoring post-casualty loss assignment should be upheld, or simply the fact is they didn't draft their policy tighter. Either way, they lose. But they also lose based on the fact that their sole assignment of error is the exercise of subject matter jurisdiction, and it's clear the court has subject matter jurisdiction by virtue of what they're asking the court here to do. They're asking the court to choose between two policies. It has subject matter jurisdiction to do so, just as you do. We would ask that the district court and the county court be affirmed in their entirety.
Thank you very much. Is there any time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. We will go on then to the next case of the day, which is In Re Adoption of Chase Teague.